So I understand this is a Bible class. And so if anybody has any questions, you can get me to stop. Just speak up. And man, y'all got more than one good song leader here in this congregation, don't you? That was just beautiful. And as a matter of fact, I turned around and looked. I thought there were some angels back there somewhere. That was just absolutely. Some people here really got some pipes. God really set y'all up. We're so thankful to be here. We love you. We don't love everybody like we love y'all, but I was thinking about that a few minutes ago, and I think it's because we're part of a common work. You know, it's you could tell how Paul felt about the Philippian brethren. And you know, part of the thing about the Philippians, Paul said when he left here, he said, when I left there, nobody had any help or fellowship in the work except for you. And so those Philippians have been a part of what Paul had been a part of, and they loved the same people that Paul loved, and so that made a wonderful kinship. And so we love you guys because you are a part of what we're a part of, and we're going to go through tonight. You're going to get to see this congregation. As a matter of fact, the Morning Star Hostel, and I'm going to be telling you about that and showing you some pictures in a few minutes. Last month it cost $1,300 is what it cost. You guys pay $1,000. So, I mean, you almost are completely supporting. I mean, it varies every month. There may be months that it is only $1,000, but you guys are pretty much, this is your work that we're going to be going through and talking about tonight. And I want you to be excited about it and to be encouraged about it because this congregation is doing that. So that when that collection plate is passed sometimes, and you want to know where that money's going, you're going to see that and feel good about that. And I think you'll think about that when the collection plate comes by. And we appreciate it because we couldn't be doing what we're doing if it wasn't for you guys doing what you're doing. And we're all, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as well as Romans chapter 12, talks about us being a body. And it takes all of us performing and working together. That's the way God made it. And it's a beautiful plan, isn't it? And so I hope that we're all encouraged. You know, Paul, when he left going on his first missionary journey, Acts chapter 13, he went out. The church at Antioch sent him out. And when he came back, at least on that journey, maybe the next one, he kind of reported to the church to let the church know what had gone on. And so that's what we want you all to see. We want you to see what is going on. We get to be on the front lines, and we get to see all of that really up close, and you guys don't get to see that. So I hope I can bring it out, but it is 10 times better than what I can explain. That's all I can say. Kathy and I love this work, and the children's homes are really a sweet part because we've been doing this now for 27 years. And a lot of these children we've had for 25 years, so we have raised them. And now we have, in two of our homes, children that we have raised have now become the directors in two of our homes, and they have married also their wives are children that we raised in our homes, and they're doing a fabulous job with the children. They know how these kids feel, and they know so much better than any of the rest of us, and so they're doing a great job. I haven't gotten any smarter than I was this morning. I told y'all this morning, I'm not a smart man, and I'm really not, and I really bask in that. But I was thinking in Acts chapter 3 when Peter and John were going up into the temple steps, and they healed that man, and it caused a stir, and then Peter got to preach, and so the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 4, the Sanhedrin called him in, they kept him overnight, called him in before the council, and said, don't speak anymore in his name. And then, you know, it comes down in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, and Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there's no other name mentioned among men or known among men whereby you can be saved. And then it says in verse 13, now when they perceived, Peter and John, that they were unlearned men, and you know, they were looking at them, and they were just amazed at what they were doing because they knew they were not very smart people. And so that's what I'm saying. We're not smart people, but God uses not smart people. So that's ours. God uses not smart people better than He uses smart people a lot of times. And because it just brings glory to Him. So again, tonight at the end of this presentation, we want everybody to think God is great. And And this scripture is a good way to start it. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. You know, we work, is this being taped? Or is it, Is it not going out in public?
Yes. It is.
It's not, okay, it's not on public, okay. India is not a country that's very compassionate. And the way that that widows and orphans are treated is very, very sad. And so Kathy and I, when we first started going to India, and I started teaching in schools, preaching there, and we were seeing these children at the bus stations, and they didn't have anywhere, no place to go, nobody to help them, nothing was happening. And we were thinking, we've got to do something. And so we started praying about that. And so we found a piece of property, and we talked to the brothers there, and so we put in the newsletter that if we just had $15,000 and we could buy this piece of property, and within 3 or 4 days a check showed up in the mail for $15,000. And so that was the beginning of it. And so in all of these years we've been working to do that. But Americans are very compassionate people as a general rule. I do believe that. I do believe that comes from us being Christians. It's the example of Jesus Christ. It's the example of God that we see in His Son that makes us compassionate people. And I'm thankful for that. Now this scripture, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, He is the Father of mercies. And He is the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So any of the comfort we see tonight and anything that we do as far as taking care of other people, that comes from God. And so we want to be sure that God gets the glory for all things. He was on the copy of the newsletter. And Mary was just pointing out he was on the copy of the newsletter. That little boy is so cute. He's one of the new ones at Morningstar. Morningstar is the hostel, the children's home that you all support. And we're going to get into that a little bit more. But I love the scripture in Psalm 68, verse 5. God is a father of the fatherless, and a judge of the widows is God in His holy habitation. That's the God that we serve. He cares about widows. He cares about orphans. One time I made a mistake. I said to one of the children something about not having a father. And that child put me in my place in a hurry. He said, I have a father. And he wasn't talking about his earthly father. He was talking about his heavenly father. And so these verses like this, they have a little bit different meaning to our kids than they do to us. Because God is their father, and we don't say to them that they are fatherless. I didn't say that he was fatherless. Love their smiles. They don't come to us with a smile on their face. They come to us usually very troubled and very sad when you know the backgrounds of these children. But James 1:27, of course, teaches us that unless you care about the fatherless and the widows, you don't have pure religion. And you know, in a nutshell, what that says to me is that God has a very special place in His heart for people that can't help themselves. You can imagine being in a country where nobody's doing anything for you and you don't have food and you have no place to stay and nowhere to turn. Or if you're a widow and you're in the same situation and God has compassion on those people. And He says, once again, you don't have pure religion. If you don't take care of those, you don't have pure religion. And so that's why we do focus. In addition to evangelism, we focus on the children's homes and focus on taking care of widows. Suffer little children to come in. He's a new one. We just met him a few weeks ago. Isn't he a cutie? But he is so happy. And he just laughs all the time. It wasn't really hard to get this picture. All you had to do is pick up the camera and aim it, and you get a picture of him because he's been abused a lot. Now, he is at our DKI campus, but suffer little children to come into me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And, of course, Jesus' disciples was trying to keep the children away from him, And Jesus said, you don't keep them away from me. You let them in. You let them in the inner circle, because the children have a special place to God. So now there are 5 children's homes. I don't know how many children there are. We haven't stopped to count that up, but it's north of 200. I know that. And so the first one is Deva Unbu Elam. That's the one kind of in the middle. Unbu is the word for love in Tamil. Deva is God, Elam is house. So this is God's house of love, is Deva Unbu Elam. The second one was down in the south. This is DKI, Deva Karabai Elam. Karabai means grace. This is God's house of grace. If you're looking up to the over on the right, over on the east side, you'll see Deva Numbakai Elam. Numbakai is hope. So this is God's house of hope. That's the third one. It was started about 6 or 7 years ago. We're going to have some pictures in there of that one also. The Cherith Hostel and the Morning Star Hostel are the two new ones. Now the difference, we have operated, I'm going to use the word orphanage, okay? I know there are a lot of people say that's not really, you all know what that means. And that designation is really being heavily followed in India, and the guidelines for operating a children's home is much different from operating a hostel. And so the first three we had children's homes, and but there are these places in India called hostels where sometimes a single parent or whatever can't take care of their child, and their children can be taken and placed there. Now, we didn't open the hostels for that purpose. If that happens, and it does happen some every now and then, we have a situation like that, but we just fall under a different classification, and it's much easier to deal with being a hostel than it is being a children's home. And but Cherith, you may remember if you go to we call it this is the name that we gave that hostel, because when you go to 1 Kings chapter 17, Elijah, you know, that's where he went down by the brook Cherith, that is before the Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, as I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. So that's an appropriate name, isn't it? You know, God took care of Elijah there. He fed him, took care of him, and God's taking care of these children. And so so that's how we came up with that name, Cherith. And like I said, it is a new program. It is a new hostel. And then we have Morning Star. Morning Star is very unique. Morning Star is the first children's home operation that we have had in another state. We work in Tamil Nadu, and that's the state that is from Morning Star down. Morning Star is located across the road from Tamil Nadu. And it's actually a Telugu-speaking state instead of a Tamil-speaking state. But our kids speak both. And so all of our teachers and everybody, all of the care workers, they have to speak both languages. And it really gives our children a very unique, they have a much more broad area that they can go and work because they speak both languages. But it's a wonderful place. Now, I want to say also, in all the children's homes, the number one thing is Bible knowledge. The kids have got to go to heaven. You know, I've said to the brothers and sisters, I've said, you know, if a child dies underneath a bridge out here because he doesn't have anybody to take care of him, he's going to go to heaven if he's not at the age of accountability. And he's better off than for him to bring, than to come to us and us to raise him and then him not wind up going to heaven. So the number one thing is Bible knowledge. We have to get the kids to heaven. Not only that, we need good, strong Christian families. We need evangelists. And so the number one thing is Bible knowledge. From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Y'all remember scriptures that you learned in vacation Bible school when you were, y'all getting ready to have VBS? You having a hard time getting teachers? No, not here. That's a privilege. What a wonderful thing to teach kids. I still remember the verses that I memorized when I was in VBS when I was 8 or 9 years old. And I can't even tell you hardly what I preached on this morning. But I can go back and remember those verses that I learned when I was 8 or 9 years old. This VBS is a very important thing that you guys are doing. So we have a Bible camp every year, very similar to Lads to Leaders. I know y'all just did Lads to Leaders or working or whatever with that. But we couldn't have it this year because of COVID. And on all the campuses, they were kind of just like, these kids are driving us crazy. And I said, okay, we're going to have a Bible Bee, and I'll conduct the Bible Bee. Now listen to this. I said, I'll conduct the Bible Bee, but we're not giving questions to the kids. We're going to go with Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. And if they study those books and they know those books, they'll be able to answer the questions and they will win the Bible Bee. But I don't want them just memorizing answers to questions and not getting it and not understanding it. So they said, okay, that's fine. So there I am. I'm projected on the wall. This is at the DAI campus. And let me tell you, D and I just ran away with this thing. But this is at the DAI campus, the initial campus. So there I am projected on the wall for 8 hours asking questions. How many questions can you come up with from Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians? The translator, Sun Tunaraj, he was getting frustrated. I was trying to trick the kids. This is a horrible thing to say. Don't judge me for this, okay? You do it for 8 hours and then see if you're trying to trick the kids. But I was asking negative questions that required a positive response, hoping the kids would get them wrong and I could set one down. And so Sun Tunaraj would translate it, and then he would say, brother, they got it right. And I was like, okay, next question. And so after about 8 hours, I asked one of those questions, and I realized the kids weren't answering the questions. They were just quoting verse. I said, well, wait a minute. Did you memorize Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians? And the kid said, yes, brother. Oh, what do you do? You know, nobody was getting the questions wrong. And I was asking questions like, here's one that blew me away. I said, there are people in the church that think you can't take money from the church treasury to help a non-believer. What verse would you use? Galatians 6:10, brother. I mean, just like that. And then they quoted another one that I hadn't even thought about. And so I was out of my league. But that's one of the things our kids have to know, the Bible. And we did. Finally, we got that thing whittled down to 6 people, and I said, it's over. We're not going to set anybody else down. All 6 of you guys are winners. So we let them pick a T-shirt from our T-shirt shop, and when we went over, we took them a T-shirt, and we took them out to dinner. And we said, they get to choose the restaurant that they go to. These kids had never been to a restaurant before, so they had no idea. And so, anyway, the staff chose where we should go. So here is the Morning Star home. Jesus is called Morning Star because Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, Jesus is the Morning Star. I am the root, the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And so that's Kathy, of course, but this was an earlier visit that we made. All of the girls are not there in that picture. How many kids do we have there, Kathy? 22? It's not 28, I don't think. But we are, another thing I'll just mention, they told me that they're expecting 35 in the next couple of months, which means we'll probably get 20 or 25 anyway, because they're always very positive about that. But then, of course, Kathy sat down with kids. They're very happy, and they love to laugh. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. So we're getting ready to go out to the campus. I stopped by the bakery. Our situation is so unique with these kids. I know at the first children's home, I remember talking to the kids about ice cream, and they had never had ice cream. And so a couple of days later, I went into town, found big cartons of ice cream, one strawberry, one chocolate, and one vanilla, and came out to the campus and personally stood there and dipped ice cream for about an hour. And the kids had no idea. They were like, I'd say, what kind you want? I want the brown one, or I want the pink one, because they didn't know strawberry or chocolate or what. And they loved it. We had to keep them from going and getting back in line again before all the kids had ice cream. But We're on our way out to the campus, and I like to do this. We stopped at a bakery, and we bought cake for all the kids because they don't get that very often. And because that's what fathers do, you know. We got to the campus, and the cook came in, and she was like, "No, no, no, you're going to spoil the kids' appetites." And I said, okay, let me tell you something. Let's get straight. I am a grandfather, and I feed my kids when my kids want to be fed, and I feed them about whatever I want to. And I said, we're going to feed these kids cake now, and if they don't eat their dinner tonight, I don't care. And they were like, okay, you're a grandfather, so you go right ahead. The kids, of course, love us. You know, that's what grandparents do. It's kind of like with my own grandkids. I sneak them off in the bedroom, give them stuff their parents won't let them have. But anyway, this is right before they were getting ready to have their cake, and they all lined up, and they're having their prayer together. These are all new kids, almost all of them. We've only had, most of our kids, we've only had maybe 4 or 5 months, I guess. We had some earlier on. But most of them are new kids. I said to him, I said, you know, the brothers and sisters in America, they don't know how you sleep. So show me how you sleep when you go to bed at night. Well, they have this little grass mat. It's about that thick. And that's the mattress. They put that down on the concrete floor. And you know, I travel with Indian brothers that they will get up out of the bed and lay down on the floor, you know, because it's just cooler. They like the concrete. It's cool. And so they, when I'm in a place like this, I get two of those grass mats. It may, you know, it's that thick. And but it makes a difference with your bones. And but anyway, the girls went. They grabbed their bed sheets and their pillows to come back to show you all how they sleep. And isn't that sweet? It's so sweet. I said, So what does it look like when you study? And one of y'all, if y'all wanted to ask a question right now, would probably say, so where do the kids go to school? Well, they go to the government schools. They go to school just like, we really work to raise our kids just like children are raised, although it's a little bit nicer atmosphere, just like the children are raised all over India, so that they can fit. We're glad they don't sleep in beds. Because when they leave us someday and they get married, they're probably going to have sleep on a concrete floor. And if they're not used to that, it's going to be very difficult for them. We elected at our first campus at DAI, we elected not to put water in the cottages to make the children have to carry water. Now when we go to see our children in the villages who have gotten married now and they have children, what are they doing? They're going to the community water well and they're having to carry water. So our kids assimilate fine because that's the way they're raised. The environment's clean, but we don't raise them any different from any other children. And they go to the Indian government schools. One of the things that we have also is we have a large group of people who are called tribals. They're kind of nomads. They wind up with children that they don't necessarily want. And they want to get rid of them. And a lot of times the children are not fed. They do not get an education. The parents don't care about them. They just leave them. And so some of those children we have taken in. This is 6 of those children. The difference, I want to tell you, we took these children in. We put them in the school. And in India, when you put the kids in school, you don't start at first grade. Depending on what your age is, it doesn't matter if you can't read or write, they take you and stick you in the 6th grade. And so the teachers came back to Sadish and said, what are you doing? Why have you sent us children like this? And Sadish explained who these kids were. And the teacher said, okay, I understand. And we will work with you. And I want to tell you, the people in the community, they have turned their heads now. They love the church, and they're seeing the compassion and seeing the care and seeing that we really do care about these children. Karpagam up there, she's a very pretty girl, and that's not necessarily good. When we got her, she was sold. She'd already been sold as a child bride, and she was just about to be married, and we stepped in and we got her. We have several girls that are in that circumstance. and you know, the pervert that had paid the money was an old man. Anyway, do you feel good about that? I mean, I am so thankful that God lets us be a part. You know, so many times I see these kids and I just think about where they would be today if they were not there, where God provided a place for them. It's a beautiful work. This little girl was born out of wedlock, and so her mother was kicked out, and everybody disowned her. We eventually wound up with her on our campus, and she is one happy little girl. Then we have the boys. Right now we're in the process of building a building. I'm going to show you some pictures of it in just a minute, but we're in the process of building a building, but we have two houses rented. The boys that you're taking care of are in one house, and the girls are in another house. Amelin, the man, is with the boys, and his wife stays with the girls. So then we went over to the boys' place. And so I got ready to leave, and I said, just y'all come get around me. I want a picture of you. Well, two of them came and jumped in my lap. I didn't like that, but they jumped in my lap. Somebody took a picture, and I don't have another picture to show y'all. So anyway, it's very sweet. So this, Kathy and I were getting ready to leave that day, and we got them all together to take a picture. This little boy, I loved him. The kids were so anxious and had been getting everything together for us. And so all suddenly, this little boy, he just stood up like this at attention and just started rattling off all the books of the Bible, you know. And he's only been there for 2 months, but he's rattling off all the books of the Bible. And so when he got finished with that, he just started quoting verses of Scripture to us, you know, because he knew that that would thrill us, and it did, to see him do that. That's what it talks about, Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. You know, when you're walking, you teach them. When you're talking, you teach them. When you're, wherever you're going, you know, growing up, my wife, she stuck scriptures on the mirror. So the kids would have to read them in the morning, and I'd have to read them when I was shaving, so that everywhere we went, we had scriptures in front of us. The kids still make fun of her for that, as they're quoting the scriptures she made them learn. Yes, ma'am. Well, I just, you know, just people would suspect that I was some kind of a pervert.
Because there is a lot.
Well, I, not necessarily, but just, you know, I just was uncomfortable.
And number two, did you do all the fingernail painting
for
the girls?
No. No, I didn't notice their fingernails. Didn't you guys notice their fingernails were painted? Okay. This little boy is challenged. And we have quite a few of those because there are some, not quite a few, but we have a number. Children who have a problem, physical or mental, a lot of times families just put them out and they have nowhere to go. Let's just go on. We had one little boy just died. We took care of him, and it was beautiful that he had the home that he had. And when he died, the kids took care of him. We had a funeral. They picked flowers. They carried his body. They dug his grave, and they buried him. So it was a beautiful thing to see how God has taken care, how God took care of him. Just like this little boy here, God takes... I can't help it. You know, it's just very, when you see these kids, there's the poor cook that was so upset because I was feeding those kids cake. So there's all of our, that's the new kitchen, all the new utensils. This is, yes, brother.
I used to be an anesthesia tech, and I worked with a bunch of Indian people at the hospital. And we used to send insulin pens and stuff back to India.
Uh-huh.
And there was a lot of diabetics back then. I said, I'm not from there, but I know I have the type of heart that wants to help people, but I have too, that's diabetes. So
yeah.
I always thought that giving back to something that, like, India was.
There are a lot of diabetics in India because they eat white rice, a huge portion of it, right before they go to bed every night at 9 o'clock. And because when there wasn't a lot of food, you wouldn't get hungry. And if the rice is all you had, so they developed this habit of eating at 9 o'clock at night. And they'll sit down and eat like a quart of white rice before they go to bed at night, which turns to sugar. And so there's a big problem with that. This is Brother Amalan and Nirmala. They're in charge of the Morning Star Home. Amalan is a preacher. He preaches for one or two congregations. And he was one of the first preachers that we had in the school in Coupam. Solomon was a wonderful evangelist. I was in a place and I was teaching and 10 men showed up. And they said, Solomon sent us to you and said you would train us to be preachers. And I said, where are you from? And they showed me on a map. They had been on a bus for 10 hours overnight to get there. And I said, we can't do this. You're too far away. But I didn't forget about Solomon. And a year or two later, I said, let's go and find this guy. I want to see what's going on. So we didn't tell him we were coming. We just went there on a Sunday morning and walked into the worship service to see what was going on. I was so impressed with Solomon. And Amalan was one of the first students in that group of people. That's probably been 15 years ago. And his wife, Nirmala, is a wonderful, wonderful mother. These kids just love her so much. But he loves the truth. He loves the scriptures. He's a good Bible teacher for the kids. This is the neighborhood where the houses are, where the children are living. This is on our way back to the boys' house. This is a piece of property that was just purchased. It was the 2.32 acres. We have a hard time finding property in India. One of the things is because we are a Christian organization. And a lot of times when people find that out, they don't want anything, you know. And another problem that we have is because of our children being without parents, most of them, a lot of people in communities will not accept us, and our kids are not accepted in schools. So we have to do some investigating and go into areas and go into schools to try to find certain pockets or places where our kids will be accepted. But this is a wonderful, it took a long time to find it. But this is the property, and the little red thing back there, we just purchased an additional one-third of an acre, and that's what that is back there. Now, the road that you see in front of the campus, Tamil Nadu, that's the state on one side of the road, and Andhra Pradesh is the state on the other side where we have the children's home. Another good thing about Andhra Pradesh is the rules and regulations are not so stringent in Andhra Pradesh as they are in Tamil Nadu. So that also makes it a little bit easier for us there at Morningstar. This is the new gate going in the front of the property. We went over there, 4 weeks ago. We went over there for the groundbreaking, for the construction, for the new property. These were the children showing up at the property, saying where their home was going to be. They are so excited about their home being built. So this is the girls arriving and the boys then arriving. That's not all of them, but there they are arriving. Of course, we all got together. We had a moment for teaching and giving God the glory because, as it says in John 1:3, He created everything, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. So we give God the glory for that campus and for that property. Our children, we really stress they need to be thankful. Thanksgiving is a huge portion of the way we react, the way we live, the way we treat other people, our own happiness. Thanksgiving is a key to that. So we really stress and teach the children to be thankful. So this is the building being started, and we're so excited about seeing that building going up. And here they're just getting ready to pour the foundation. This happened just a couple of weeks ago. That's Brother Solomon right there. Brother Solomon was the preacher that sent those men to me that I went and found him in Coupam. And man, he is a powerful, mighty man. He really is. And he kind of oversees this. Amalan and Nirmala are there. They work with him, but he's kind of watching over everything. And Solomon is a very good man to be doing that. And a man of God. I just have to tell you one story. He'd gone in a village and was on his motorcycle. Motorcycle is a precious thing. And he had saved his money. He had bought a motorcycle. And he parked a motorcycle and he went down to the pond to baptize a man and a woman. Well, the people in the village were mad because these people were being baptized and they stole his motorcycle. So when he came back and started asking about it, all the people in the village were just like, "Yeah, we don't know. We don't know." And so every time I would see Solomon, I would say, "Solomon, brother, did you get your motorcycle?" "No, brother, don't worry about it." I said, "We're going to get that motorcycle." You know, and so every time I would see him, so I finally came to him and I said, "Solomon, did you get your motorcycle?" And he said, "No, brother, I didn't." And I said, "Okay, we are going to the police department. We are going to get your motorcycle." I was just really upset. And he said, "Brother, stop." He said, "I have got a new work going on in that village." And he said, "We have started teaching people there. And if you go in and you start making a stink over a motorcycle, it's just going to destroy the work. It's only a motorcycle." And I thought, wow, you know, because that motorcycle wouldn't be so precious to me. But to him, I mean, that's like a house when we're talking about somebody having a motorcycle. I love that man. I love him. He's the worst preacher I've ever seen in my life. And I tell him that. I tell him, I say, "You're like me. You're just ugly, just like me. And you're one of the worst preachers I have ever seen." And I said, "I don't understand, but that man's head is full of the scriptures and his heart is full of faith. And when you take faith and the scriptures and you put those two together, you have an explosive situation. Thousands of souls he's baptized." Yes. Well, it does, and they hire a lot of women to carry those pans and do that. So this is building up to the floor level, and then they'll come in and fill that, put in the floor, and continue on. This is the way the building should look when it's completed. The boys will be on the right side. The girls are on the left side. The two doors in the middle are going into the lunch, the eating area. And then all the restrooms and everything are back to the back side of that. It's a very simple building. But anyway, this is not built, but Kathy saw this a little while ago and she said, "Wow!" You know, but I just took the drawing and stuck it on the property. That's where the building is going to go. But I'll be back with a real photograph before very long. But this is by faith, you know. That means being able to see things that aren't really there. This is Bonamuthy. She's one of the children you all are taking care of. She's 10 years old. Her mother was having an affair, and her brother-in-law caught her, and she killed the brother-in-law to keep him from telling her husband. And then she ran away, and so it was a long time before they caught her and put her in prison, but she's in prison now. And this little girl is very scarred. She's very scarred. She's very upset with her mother. And as a matter of fact, one of the staff said to her, "Maybe one of these days your mother can come and visit." And she said, "No, please, I don't want to see my mother." Because it's very painful. You know, a lot of times when one of the parents is still living and they don't want the child, it's much more difficult than when the parents are just absolutely gone, because they feel rejected. This is Swetha. Her mother, something happened to her mother. This is a situation that happens to us very often. But the father remarried. And the father remarried, and with his new wife had two children. The new wife couldn't stand this one because it wasn't hers. And then the father turned on her, and they started burning her. And just really, really, I could not even tell you what this little girl has been through. But she's with us now. And I want to tell you, she is a happy little girl. She's got a wonderful life ahead of her. This is the D&I campus. Now, what happened here? Kathy and I are the most blessed people in the world. I want to tell you that. But we had gone into a room to discuss some things with some brothers. The girls were afraid they were not going to be able to see us. And so quietly, we had no idea they were there. They were all just standing waiting. And so when we came out the door, there they were. They were just, you look at them, aren't they precious? And uh, So we were over there. It was my birthday. And we were at the original campus, DAI. That's, of course, I told Kathy on July 24th, this day before my birthday, if y'all will send me a card next year. But I told her, I said, do not tell anybody here that it's my birthday. And she said, okay, I won't. Well, about that time, somebody knocked on the door. And it was a kid with flowers. Happy birthday, brother. Well, there wasn't. By the end of the day, there wasn't a flower left on the campus. Every one of them was in our apartment. And so that night, then they had me a birthday party. That's Chicken Boy, they call him now, back there in the back, the boy with no hair. What's his name, Kathy? Morgan. And but now they call him Chicken Boy because when we had to, the kids had to be sent out during COVID, and they sent him to a place they didn't take good care of him, and they took him to a hostel, and in India everything is veg or non-veg. Restaurant, when you're driving down the road, it'll say veg or non-veg, you know, because if you are a meat eater, you are a non-veg, and so they make that distinction. And so anyway. He's 8 years old, and he had killed the chicken. And the people that owned the hostel called him in, and they said, did you kill our chicken? And he said, yeah, I killed your chicken. He said, I am non-veg. And he said, I've been here for 2 weeks. And you've been, y'all Texans, you can appreciate that. He said, I've been here for 2 weeks, and you haven't fed me any meat, and I'm non-veg. And so I didn't believe him, and so I said, how did you do it? How did you cut this chicken up? And, oh, he went through the whole thing and looked at me like, you don't know how to do this. Well, anyway, I said to Kathy, I said, okay, so we're going to D&I tomorrow, and at least over at the D&I campus, they don't know it's my birthday on my birthday, and so we'll keep it quiet. And she said, okay, well, there's the gate, if you look up there at the top. We pulled up at the gate, and there it was. Happy birthday, Brother Don. And so Sadish came to me. He's the director. He came to me, and he said, I told these children, Brother Don is not going to be happy with you doing this. You should not do this. And the kids, he said, the kids told me, he said, he's our dad, and it's his birthday, and we really want to decorate the gate. And he said, okay, you do it. It's on you. So then I came in, and all the children were lined up in two lines. And as I walked down the middle of those children, one by one, they stepped forward with homemade gifts that they had made me. I had to get two kids to carry the gifts. I was like a prime minister or something. And aren't we blessed? I mean, Kathy and I are two of the most blessed people in all the world. This is the DAI campus, the first campus. Our bus, I've been noticing for 2 or 3 years, that we were in trouble with our bus because, well, it's obvious. The kids get out every morning around the corner, and there the kids are, and our house mothers are getting old. I mean, it's like old women. And they're out there, and they push the bus till they get it started, and then the kids run and jump on the bus to go to school. And then when they get ready to come back in the evening, they have to do the same thing when they come back from school. And so I keep thinking, we've got to do something about the bus. We have to do something about the bus. Well, India levied a tax on us this year that was more than what a new bus was going to cost. And so now we have a new bus. And one of the kids came, I was getting ready. We have an apartment on this campus. One of the kids came running after me and said, Brother Don, thank you for the bus. And I just pointed and I said, you thank God. I didn't get you that bus. That's money that came from God. But anyway, they are so thankful. This is our new YLA program because you want to know what these kids, what's going to happen to these kids. Hopefully, and Morningstar also. You know, as a parent, we have a responsibility. Hopefully, our kids are going to move out one day. And they need to have a job. They need to have a career. And so we have 200-plus kids that we're responsible for that. A father teaches his children a trade or helps them to develop that. This is our YMLA, YWLA, Young Women's Leadership Academy, Young Men's Leadership Academy. These are all children that we have now that are at the age of about 18 or 19 years old. They finished high school, and so now we have started this new program. The men sitting in the center are the teachers, and they're evangelists. They're some of the most effective evangelists. They're not scholars, but they are wonderful Bible teachers and evangelists, and these kids love them. They've just hung on to them like they're their dads, and they're a wonderful example. And it is one of the most beautiful programs. We are so happy with this program. Look at those girls. We raised these girls. That little girl right there in the middle, in the front, her name is Debbie. She came to us as a baby. She has a mother. Her mother is one of our house mothers who is a widow. We had another little girl named Lydia, and I named her. I should know. We have another little girl named Lydia. We found her underneath a bush covered in fire ants when she was 6 months old. And she, in a matter of a few hours, she would have been gone. But we have her now. And so we said to Conemaugh, we don't think that you'll be able to take her and raise her because you're going to be partial to your own child. And she said, I will do that. And man, has she ever. This is the other one. She's raised them. Don't pay attention. I thought that was the buzzer going off. but she has raised them like twins, and it is so sweet. And so she told Kathy not too long ago, she said, they asked me about that. And she said, and I tell Lydia, I carried her in my belly. I carry you in my heart. But just looking at those girls and seeing what they've done now and seeing where they're headed. Here are the boys, and they are really getting better. I want to tell you why. they're boys. And when I look at them, the one that you see over on the far right, Muthamari, is challenged. He really can't hardly walk. I don't know if it's polio or what the problem is, but he really, his whole body, but man, is he a gospel preacher. I was over there and all these kids came, these boys came and conducted the whole worship service for that Sunday morning. And that guy got up and preached a very fiery sermon, and he loves to preach. And they say he is such a wonderful, because almost every one of those boys up there can preach. And not only that, we have some boys that you could tell them, if they were sitting here, we need for you to get up and preach. And they would say, what subject? I mean, I don't know what it sounds like. But this is another thing about those teachers, because they're evangelists. When they get ready to go out and win souls and knock doors, they take those boys with them. And they love that. And so there's Akash. That boy has given us so much trouble. His life has just turned around. And so they're out having Bible studies. They baptized 5 souls in 1 week working with our evangelist, and they are on fire. When are we going to get to go and win souls again? And you see they wear their mask down underneath their chin. That's the way everybody in India does. They wear masks. They just wear them down here. And I tell them, I said, that's just like somebody carrying a Bible in their back pocket thinking it's going to save them, And that's not going to do you any good. But anyway, they are wearing a mask. But we believe the kids need to work. This is our fields at D&I. We have a really high water table there. The kids work in agriculture. They're out pulling the weeds under that's our mango trees. And we have 100 mango trees. And so the kids are out, they plant crops around those trees. This is a new piece of property that was just acquired at D&I, and these are girls out sowing, and oxen are still used to plow the fields. And unless Samson is there, we have a tractor, and we have one of our boys, he's about 15 years old, and he loves tractors. And he gets out and runs the tractor and takes care of the tractor. We teach our kids they have to work in the kitchen. This is one of our girls helping Devin Asen cooking. This is one of our boys cooking chapatis for the other kids. Kids need to work. I walked by and the kids were playing chess. And I said, man, y'all play chess? And they said, brother, you didn't know? And they came to me just after I asked that question. They said, here's the first place chess trophy. Our kids took first place, the chess champions. And then the girls came and said, and here's our trophy. The girls took first place in the chess champion. We got some smart kids. And just so you know that they're normal, they love sports. They took first place in volleyball, took first place in cricket. And this is my last slide. We were getting ready to leave India. And this little boy, this has been a few months back, but this little boy showed up at our door, knocked at the door, went, and there stood Nunath, and that's his name. And he just came, nowhere to go, doesn't have any parents. nobody to take care of him. He doesn't know. He's 8 years old, and he doesn't know where he is. He doesn't know if this is a group of people who are going to love him. He doesn't know if they're going to feed him. He doesn't know if they're going to abuse him. He has absolutely no idea what his life is like. But he has come to the right place. This is God's place. That little boy is going to grow up knowing the true and living God. What a blessing it is to be there. And that's because of the church. You all are a part of this. You know, if the church was not working together to cooperate so that we could have these homes and these places for these children, it wouldn't be happening. So I hope you feel good about that. You know, the Lord said, Matthew 25, "For I was hungry, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me." We saw Nuneth just recently. Man, he was just running around. He's just one of the kids. You know, our kids, they're... I remember we got one boy years ago, Manoj Kumar. His family brought him, or somebody brought him, and his foot was turned backwards. And we didn't see that. That's all right. It wouldn't have made any difference. But when he was brought, and he was brought in the office, and we talked to everybody, and he became one of our children, the next day I went out, and he was playing in Sandbox. And I looked down, and I saw his foot. And he pulled his foot back up underneath him because he was afraid he was going to be kicked out because of his foot. Because that's the way a lot of these kids are treated when there's a problem. I just sat down on the ground, picked him up, put him in my lap because I couldn't talk to him. I couldn't speak Tamil. I just reached down and started petting his foot. Man, he is one fine young man now. He's about 22 years old, and I want to tell you, when they have a foot race, he wins. He can outrun all of those other kids. And it's like he doesn't even know that he has a physical problem because nobody's ever treated him like he had a problem. He has a home, and he has people who loves him. Isn't God great?
Yes. Is the man behind the government?
No, he's a security guard. They make us have, we have to have a security guard on the campus. And he's a brother. He's gone through the school of preaching, and he doesn't think quite like everybody else, but he makes a wonderful security guard with us. Anybody have any questions? We're out of time. So thank you so much.